Fiona Kelly has taken up the role as the new chief executive at Uniting Care Wesley Bowden, a not-for-profit organisation which has been servicing the community for over 150 years. Fiona joins us live in the studio to tell us about her new role. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, Fiona, it's been a little while in the brewing.
Yes, you could say that.
You've been acting CEO for a little while, haven't you?
I've been acting CEO since October of last year, and then before that I was the General Manager of Operations from mid-2011. So I've been with the organisation a reasonable length of time now.
Yeah, so you know the ins and outs, and I guess that was one of the reasons that the board originally asked you to act in the first instance and then have now appointed you.
Yes.
So congratulations.
I'm very pleased.
I'm sure that you are.
Very excited about what we're going to be able to do with the organisation.
Now, it's an interesting time to be arriving in the CEO's role because there's a lot of change going on in the human services sector more broadly, the welfare sector. What are some of the big challenges that you think UC Bowden are going to be trying to come to grips with?
We provide services across a broad range. So we're what you would describe as a broad-based not-for-profit. So we provide homelessness services, emergency release services, child and family services, childcare services, mental health services, aged care services, disability services. And in each of those sectors, there is a reform program underway. So one of the greatest challenges is trying to actually navigate through what is expected and required under those reform processes while maintaining good quality service on the ground. And particularly in areas like aged and disability, the reform in those spaces at a national level is significant. I mean, they are talking about the NDIS being the single biggest reform since Medicare. So it is phenomenal change. And it is a very different change of focus for a not-for-profit in that it's moving away from grants in advance to consumer-controlled and owned monies. So it requires a full revision of how it is that we go about our business model. It's about how do you then take that forward, develop up something which is a sustainable commercial business model, but retaining your mission and being true to your values. And there is an inherent tension in that. There is no denying there's an inherent tension in that. But we're an organisation of 150 years. Our mission has held reasonably true over that time to supporting vulnerable and disadvantaged people. And you must pay respect to that. That is the reason why the organisation exists. So it is about how do you make that transition, do it well, but preserve what really is the essence of the organisation.
It's going to be a very challenging thing to do. You would certainly be aware of how the way that funding has emerged over more recent years is to move in a much more corporatised kind of business-like fashion. And that has to be a challenge in terms of when you're trying to maintain a mission that's about having a very significant focus on people who are very vulnerable and very difficult. Mm. How have you walked that line? What secrets have you got to share about, you know, how to walk that line successfully?
Well, I don't know whether they're secrets, and I think we're probably grappling and doing the same thing that a lot of other people are out there doing. I mean, one of the things that we have to do is we have to become more contemporary in the way we go about doing our business. So we have to be much more efficient and use technology better. So we've looked at what sort of infrastructure and systems we need in order to be able to do that. And for us, part of that is about being able to drive down the cost of our business so that we can do more of our business well with the people that we want to target it on. But that requires an investment and quite a substantial change across the organisation. So, you know, our IT infrastructure is all being revised. One of the things that we're really focusing on is people, so our workforce. And we have initiated quite a significant change in both our recruitment and our training, our performance and training and development processes, and we're anchoring them in our values. So what it is that we're doing is we're very clear about articulating our values and what behaviours reflect those values. So what they look like, what they sound like, what they feel like, what they are in embodiment. And we look for those sorts of characteristics in the people that we recruit, but also we require those characteristics in the people that do the business. So there's a lot of investment in the people, a lot of investment in the infrastructure, but it's also looking at what sort of spread we need to have across our client base so that we are able to preserve and maintain service delivery activity to those who are the most vulnerable. So what other bits of add-on services do we need to make available to people that is not going to be possible for them under the scope of an aged care or a disability plan, but where we know that's going to be pivotal because there are many people out there with complex, challenging needs that will not be well catered for under both the aged care and the disability space.
What is it that means that there's going to be a mismatch? Because in a sense, the early call around the NDIS and the early call around the aged care reforms, particularly those directed at the movement towards consumer-directed care, was that it would help people take charge of their own circumstances and would enable people to have access to services that were much more designed more closely for their needs and interests. But it sounds as though you're cautious about the capacity to be able to deliver that. What is it that's kind of the mismatch there?
Well, you know, particularly in the NDIS space, the service delivery activity sits at a capped charge by the government, and it's a very limited amount that you can actually charge for what can be a very expensive service delivery. It's also the case as well that, particularly in the aged care space, what we're finding is that consumers who are being provided with home care packages are really embracing this concept of consumer-directed care, being active in the planning of their supports. But there is another element that goes along with that for them that they're not necessarily well equipped with. For example, understanding the financial components of a package and what elements of care costs within that package. So what does that mean that they're then entitled to, the mismatch between what they actually want and what the value of their package is able to provide. It's quite complex for a lot of people to get their heads around. And particularly for aged people as well, when they're transitioning between different levels of care, so from low care into high care community-based packages, which require an assessment process at each point. So the whole premise behind the aged and the disability reform is fantastic. There's no doubt it will be an improvement, but it still has levels of complexity in both service delivery but also from the consumer's perspective that I think still have to be ironed out.
Who's there to help the consumer in that instance understand those things? Whose job is it to actually help the older person who may be trying to weigh those judgments about what I can do with this resources and what they're really worth? Who's there to help them in that process? Is that the stuff that services like yours are meant to be doing, or is that someone else's job?
Well, it's something that services like ours have picked up because of the level of confusion that we've seen across the sector. So we've taken the initiative, as well as a number of other providers, to start to run community education sessions. So to invite carers and care recipients to come in to actually understand what's my aged care about and what's an ACAT assessment about and what does it mean when you get your letter for this and what do you need to understand about what a package involves. And we're running similar sorts of information sessions focused on the NDIS. So what we're finding is people are really connecting with the concept, but really are finding it difficult to still understand and navigate their way through the system. Now, that may be because the systems aren't being nearly implemented, and once they're in place for, you know, a number of years, then it will flow smoothly. But at the moment, we're at a point of transition where there is still quite a bit of confusion.
Now, one of the things that you said was that you've been thinking very carefully about how you use technologies to both make your services a bit more efficient and make some savings. But one of the other things that we've been talking a lot about is that in fact, at the moment, we know that there are some people who understand how to use digital technologies well, and there are others who don't. And the others who don't are being expected to use those and may be failing, and as a result of the failing, may be at risk of just falling off altogether. And I think in these areas, including in the My Aged Care, so if we think about accessing your aged care services, you actually have to go through an interface that, from all I understand, is a pretty complicated one.
Yes.
You can be thrown out every now and again without really understanding why. So it's frustrating for people. How much of that stuff are you having to confront as a part of your business process, helping people to adapt, to become more competent, to become more digitally competent and literate? And I can see how you might do it with your staff, but are you having to do it for the people that you're supporting as well?
Yeah, we are. And that forms part of the information sessions that we're running in relation to this is what the website looks like, this is how you connect with the website, these are the menu bars that you need to understand, this is where it will take you. It is a challenge for some more than others, and particularly for those where there may not be a younger carer that is supporting them who might have a level of computer literacy that can assist.
Yeah, there's always that assumption that if you're young that you'll know about these things. Of course, it's a very poor assumption. I do know some young people that know a lot about, you know, certain things on the internet, but not necessarily how to use it for all the other things.
Particularly the aged care.
Let's stop for a second and just think about Fiona. What got you into the whole business of human services, and what led you to eventually becoming the CEO of United Care Wesley Bowden?
Well, I started in disability as one of my first jobs as a new graduate psychologist, and spent a number of years working with people with intellectual disability with a focus on those that were most vulnerable in that cohort, so young children who were at risk of out-of-home placement, and setting up intervention programs to try and support carers and families with sometimes really challenging and difficult circumstances. So my interest in things related to social justice and is from very early in my career. So, I mean, I've worked in that space, worked in the mental health area in the acute mental health system as the Director of Rural and Remote Mental Health. I've worked in the criminal justice system, supporting sector reform for people with mental impairment under the Criminal Law Consolidation Act. Did a little bit of a stint in the corporate world overseas, where it was really refreshing to actually move into a different space. But it came to me that there was something missing in it. So I reverted to my roots. I came back to where I feel most comfortable, and that is working in the community, working with people who are disadvantaged.
Is there a reason why you're so feisty about disadvantage?
I actually probably think it goes back to being of Irish Catholic roots.
It's
good old Irish Catholic values. I think it's actually probably that was something that was very important in my family. My mum worked in disability. My sister's is a nurse. My other sister has been a psychologist in her life. So I think working with people, helping people, working with people who require support is probably something that does go back to family values.
And has that passion helped in advancing your career?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Because sometimes these passions actually get in the way of career advancement.
That's a really interesting question. I think maybe over the years I've had to learn how to temper my passion or present it in a way where it's not combative.
Not quite so feisty.
I am known to speak my mind, and I think over my career perhaps maybe I've had to learn to, you know when to not and know when to do it with a little bit more serene approach.
Yeah, it's a big challenge, isn't
it? It is a very big challenge, particularly when you're confronted with injustice, mm-hmm. and particularly when you're confronted with systems and processes that you know are really not serving people well.
If we were talking to you in the imaginary 5 years' time, we've had 5 years in the gig.
Yes.
What would you hope to be able to say to me about things that you've seen change under your watch?
Well, change or more be enhanced. UCWB will be a sought-after organisation. I'm really pleased and proud to be taking it forward as an organisation that will be known for providing quality and being sought after for our expertise and the fact that what we do is quality and that we're an organisation that, if you like, does what it says on the tin. What it says you can expect to get. So for me, that's really important.
Well, Fiona, we wish you every good success in that process. I think it clearly is a very challenging time for leaders in this sector. It clearly is a challenging time for people who are vulnerable. And we really do hope that you manage to swing the arm of justice in favour of those people that aren't at the moment getting quite the deal they should be. So good on you.
Well, we'll keep trying.